Welcome tonight to the prayer meeting, and welcome those online. And our song tonight to start up with will be 387, True Hearted, Wholehearted. 387. If you could pray for us, please.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time we can come together tonight to look into your word and sing praises to your name, Lord. We pray that you do it fast as you open your word, guide and direct him and go before him. And may we be ready to receive what you have for us at this time. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Got a few favourites, a couple of favourites. For them. Yes, John.
294, please.
294. Any of those words? And here we go. We'll sing first, second, and fourth verses on Saviour Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Defend us, seek us when we go astray.
Yes, Vic.
297.
Just over the page. God will take care of you. And we'll sing first, the third, and the fourth on this one. Children. we're considering the last phrase that John made in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And last week we started thinking about this thought, and there's a lot of scripture about this. An idol is something other than God that takes hold of our heart and we set our hearts on. We looked first of all at describing and delineating idolatry, improper desires for physical pleasures. Number two, pride and arrogance can make us reluctant to admit our wrongs and leads to defensiveness, obsession and self-justification. The third, love of money or material possessions that money can buy. And we looked at the later scenes in that regard. Fear of man can be an idol too. That is, we will do anything to please men and not God. We looked lastly at good things that we want too much. Good things that they go from being desires to being demands that we make of God, and he generally doesn't give those. And we got to the last one, but didn't do it, And I left you with the question, can our family and our children cause us to commit adultery? Idolatry. Well, yeah, you know what I mean. Let's look at a scripture and see what you think after we read this. In Matthew 10, 37 and 30 through to 39, it reads there in Matthew 10, 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It gives us instruction in many, many ways, all the ways of life, we could say. And I pray that we would take heed to it and take the warnings seriously, and that we wouldn't set anything before you, whether it be a thing or whether it be a person, whether it be a place, as many things that we've already discussed. And Lord, that we would take down the idols that have got a hold of our heart and that we're looking to for satisfaction and for contentment, and we ought not. Bless the word as we consider it this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Our family and children, and I put down here, who run the roost and make the decisions or direct us in the decisions we make. Father, mother, son or daughter is not worthy of me if they are the ones that are having the say in what we do. We ought to be like Hannah. And what did she do with her son? Gave him to God. Gave Samuel to the Lord for his life. And she gave him up at a very early age too. As a very young child when she gave him. But what a blessing Samuel was to Israel in his straightforwardness. And that's what happens when one gives his children to God instead of idolizing them in their lives. Children are an inheritance of the Lord, it says in 1:27 verse 3. They are important. We need to give emphasis to the importance. The only thing that as Christians that we'll see in heaven is not our things, but could well be our children, from giving them the gospel. And I've listed a few things now, and you could go a lot further than this. We worship our children when we don't say no to them at an early age. We worship our children when we don't discipline our children. You know, we did. The older ones copped it more than the younger ones, I suppose, because they're going to set the example for the younger ones. Anyway, you asked the kids, so they'll have different responses. But we need to discipline them. Does it tell us in the Bible that this should be so? Clearly says it is, particularly in the book of Proverbs. Child left him to himself will bring his mother to shame. And if we don't discipline them, it's saying we're idolizing them, and that would hurt them. And a Christian person I was talking to, I know they're Christians, was horrified when I said I discipline my children way, way back. And I thought, oh, don't they?
Use the rod and spare the child.
Spoil the child. Spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, I don't know if that one's in Proverbs, is it?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. we idolise or worship our children and set them up as little gods. And when we give in to every whim and whinge and whine that they make, they learn to do it. They learn that if they do it enough, we'll give in. And no, you don't give in. Don't give in to them. When we lavish expensive gifts on them when they're getting older, to try buy their love and buy them into Christian things. No, don't do that. You see, these things can get a hold of us and we don't even know we're doing these things. We don't tell them they're sinners and need to be saved We're setting our children up before the Lord. They need to repent, get saved. When we don't emphasize Christian ministry, because if they go into Christian ministry, they'll be poor. What about that one? Setting them up and saying, well, we'd like them to succeed in a business or something like that. If that's God's will, yeah. But if it's God's will, they go into ministry and it's obviously seen that they have their abilities, then don't stop them if they say they're going to. And the big one is we worship our children when we stand up for their sin. And it's happened over and over and over again in this church. The children do something wrong, you talk to them, and then the parents get onto you. And what I'd like to have, Sam, you can set some of those security cameras up in here and in there. Okay, let's take a video look at what we disciplined them for before you tell me off for getting onto their case. You know, don't stand up for your children's sin. What will happen if you stand up for your children's sin to the child? What do they think? They keep doing it and they'll be justified in doing worse. Why do we have criminals on the street doing what they're doing in the last days, last week we've seen? Because the parents have not done what they should have done. They're not even Christians, most likely. And hey, stand up and don't justify their sin. Hold them to account for what they've done. And they'll learn to repent and turn to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness in regards to those things when we stand up there. I see a few days ago, well, there's a little thing in our devotional book and text in 2 Chronicles 31. It says, our text reminds us that assurance and hope are inevitably results of obedience to the Lord. When the people's hearts were in tune to the Lord's will, they obeyed him by turning from their idolatry and spiritual lethargy and put him first in their lives, service and worship. Let's put him first in these things in our life. Now, that's describing and delineating, finishing that off, idolatry, dealing with idolatry. In James 4, verse 8, in the last part of that verse, it says, wash your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Get rid of idolatry. And the only way to purify our hearts is to get rid of the idols. Paul teaches that it's not a passive process. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, therefore, my dearly beloved, it says, flee from idolatry. It's amazing when you look at how many times this word idolatry is used in talking to Christians. Flee from idolatry. But follow after righteousness, faith, and love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. No idols there. And that word flee is a strong word. It means to escape by running away. Can you think of someone that did that? Joseph did that. He put on his running shoes, a song that's been put to that. And run, fled. That calls for deliberate, strenuous, prolonged, continuous action. Flee. And I wonder where they found Joseph when he finally got finished getting puffed out from running. Where'd he flee to? Who could he plead to? He was only a slave. He couldn't go and appeal to somebody and tell them the truth and put in jail wrongfully. And so using this word there in 1 Corinthians 10:14, 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul is warning us that we'll not free ourselves from idolatry and idols by accident. It won't just happen slowly. For as we think we will be, and as we think about those things and set them up, little idols in our mind, we will go that way. We can't just, oh, it's all right, not too bad, set it aside passively. We need to take aggressive action with it. And we'll keep it over in a corner just for a while. I can resist it. Then we go back to it. No, flee. You can't flirt with idols. And it's just as bad as being freed from a snake pit and then going back in. Classify it, first of all, dealing with idolatry. Classify it. What is idolatry, along with all the other things that are wrong? It's sin, isn't it?
Yeah.
In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8, it says this: Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Classify it as sin. There's nothing secret, nothing hidden. It might be hidden from everybody else, but it's not hidden from the Lord. Well, I only think it. Yeah, God knows what we think, doesn't he? And so we need to classify it as sin. We need to confess it, as 1 John 1, 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So confess it as sin. Lord, forgive me. No, it doesn't say that. It says confess the sin. What is the sin? The sin of idolizing something or setting something up before anything else. Any of the six things and many more things that we looked at. You know, I know, in our lives, what can get our attention and draw us away from the things of the Lord, from devotion to the Lord, from coming to church, a whole range of things. What stops us from doing what is right is an idol. And so classify it as sin, confess it as sin, and change the focus. Change the focus of our affections and thoughts. And where do we find that? In Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds on these things, on the things above. And as we preach and teach, and as you read your Bible, as you do your devotions, as you prepare a Sunday school lesson, these things. Focus on these things. Change your focus. Study the Word. Meditate upon his promises. Trust in him. Heed his warnings. Serve others. Worship with other believers at church. Enjoy the fellowship. Keep yourselves from idols. Flee from idolatry, as we've been told. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be. And crucify it. Classify it, confess it, change your focus, and crucify it. It says in Colossians 3, 5, mortify there your members, make them dead, our members, physical attributes we have, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness. It's the last one listed there, and it gives an explanation note to that, which is idolatry. Right now, ask yourself the question, what is it that I've coveted this week? What is it that I would not come to church for? What is it that would keep me from my devotions? What is it? Covetousness, which is idolatry. Ephesians 5:5 says, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and then it adds this, who is an idolater? You say, oh, I'm not an idolater. You're practicing idolatry, you're an idolater. Covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And we've referred to this man, and he's over in Judges chapter 6 and verse 25. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that abide it, and build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock. In the order place take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. He's not only pulling it down, he's burning it up and using the materials of this idol to do the sacrifice unto the Lord. Because he feared his father's house, he did it at night time, it says, verse 27. When the men of the city in the morning arose and saw that Baal was all pulled down, who did it? Who done it? And the father, praise the Lord, stood up for his son, Gideon. That's what we need to do. Pull it down, burn it up, and get rid of it. What Gideon did there in his life. So we've seen, classify it, confess it, change your focus, crucify it, you know, burn it up, and conquer it through the Lord Jesus Christ as you focus on him. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, the Lord Jesus, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believe him, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With what's going on around the world, does it get your attention on God? I pray that it does. And that you have joy unspeakable, knowing what you do know, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, who you know, because he's going to deliver us, and we know where this is all headed. Unsaved people don't have a clue where it's all headed, where it's all going to end, but we know. And we've got our faith in the one who's going to end it all and bring it to pass, as he said in his word. And that we can have joy in doing this. Conquer these idols through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking after him. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. We can let go of pride, we can let go of things, we can let go of that which we hold as idols, give it up, and glory in the infirmities. Most gladly, therefore, I glory rather in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If we want the Lord to work through our lives, if we want opportunities to come, the Lord sees us faithful in doing his will and seeking him out and seeking him first, then he'll give us the opportunities. If we've got idols in our heart, he won't give us those opportunities like he could. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, Paul said, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Conquer through Christ. Have the victory in him. What do we sing? Victory in Jesus. And we ought to be having victory in him. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Doesn't matter what other people think of us. What they say about us. Paul said there, but with me, 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. That was one of the idols, remember, of the six we started with? What other people think. Paul said, I don't care what you think of me. If I'm dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, doing his will, you must say, oh, the end of that is to be poor. The end of that is to not, or to offend a lot of people by what you say. Yeah. I don't care if I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He is the one we have to answer to. He is the one that we'll give an account to. He, and I think we sung it this evening, we did in one of the verses there, you know, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly and from those that ask. And if we're walking in his will, we won't ask amiss, and so he'll give us all the things we ask. But if we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust because we're covetous and idolatrous, then he won't give it to us. We're not playing a game here. This is eternal things. This is life and death. This is the reward of heaven and or the loss of reward. Not a game. We don't go through outward motions to get to satisfy and please the Lord. We have to have that inner desire to have the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, truly, Our focus and attention should be on him, learning to love him, appreciate him, and thank him for all that he's done. If you have a problem thanking the Lord and praising him for things that happen, read through the Psalms again and again. And what do you find? Praise the Lord. You know, at the start of the psalm, it's introduced, and in the psalm, it's saying, oh, it's not going too good. But the end of the psalm, most of them end with a praise point, to praise the Lord for what's going on. Praise him for that. And in Matthew 5, you know, we have the Beatitude. So I said to someone, I said, just read Matthew 5, 6 and 7. You got a problem in a certain area and see what you come up with. They came back and said, yep. Couldn't give me eyes off what it said there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Follow after the Lord. Get rid of idols out of our life. And dealing with them, classify them, confess them, change your focus, crucify them, and conquer through Christ, and may he be all in all. See Jesus, looking unto him only in our lives. So there's some thoughts for tonight. Conquer the idols. In the mind it starts, then goes into action. Okay.